You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, horror for the casually obsessed. I'm Kim.
I'm John.
And this week, we are finishing off our Rage Cage double feature with the, I'm going to say underrated.
Oh, yeah.
Underrated high-budget movie.
100%. Ghost Rider is Nicolas Cage's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
John, before we get into this week's film, I want you to say three good things about Ghost Rider to recommend it to anybody who has not seen the film yet and is on the fence.
Sure. I mean, like, these also work for anybody who's actually also seen it and sort of dismissed it when it came out. You really should rewatch Ghost Rider.
I have to say, one of my favorite rewatches in a long time.
Yeah. Number one, it is a fucking Texas fried neo-western with deals with the devil and a fucking flamethrower bicycle. Like, goddamn,
how many points is this?
Really, I'm actually just describing, like, everything everybody already knows about Ghost Rider, but, like, goddamn, this movie, it really, really sells its neo-western vibes. And, you know, you swap out horses for motorcycles, you light them on fire, you turn your hero into a skeleton, and bam, that's Ghost Rider.
I didn't realize how easily sold by skeleton I am until I watched Ghost Rider. Just put a skeleton in anything, and I'm like, yo, this is dope.
Point number two, Nicolas Cage drinks a martini glass full of jelly beans. That's some
In lieu of alcohol.
Like, he swills it around like it's got an olive in it that he's trying to mix in, and then just, like, shoots it down when he gets mad. It's brilliant. And I think point number three, this is a bit of a cheat. You're going to have to let me know if I got to find something new here. But, you know, like, really helping sell that neo-western vibe, we got fucking Sam Elliott as a cemetery crypt keeper guy. Those words didn't want to come out of my mouth, but here they are, out in the world and into your ears.
He's
a cemetery crypt keeper guy.
A cemetery crypt keeper guy and narrator.
Yeah, big old mustache on that boy, too. Maybe that's the third point, Sam Elliott's mustache.
Sometimes you're born a ghost rider, sometimes you're not, and you make a deal with the devil and thus end up becoming a ghost rider.
Sometimes you gotta dance with the ghost rider that brung you.
All right, so those are three good things. John, what's keeping you creepy this week?
Honestly, really just the vibe of Ghost Rider. That's what I'm riding high on, especially now that we're talking about it. I'm like, my love for this, it's been a little while since we've recorded this episode, but, like, goddamn, there's a fire inside me that's just been re-stoked. We should watch it again tonight. I fucking loved watching this ghost with chains just, like, rip-roaring up a building, lighting shit on fire.
You're gonna talk about it in a minute.
I guess.
As of dropping this episode, we are on the road. We are at Panic Fest. We've got some fun events happening there. It's Panic Fest in Kansas City, Missouri. Check it out if you're nearby. Come see us. We're recording this in advance, so hopefully nothing crazy happened.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're...
Like, they announced 16 more Halloween films. What do you think would be so crazy? Yeah, 16 more Halloween films.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, John Carpenter is gonna direct a Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be like, we'd have to talk about that.
Yeah, like Jason versus Michael versus Leatherface.
Hell yeah.
We would be in the RV recording something.
That'd be great.
Dear Jesus. Dear Lord.
No, as it stands, we're just at home. I mean, at the time of recording, we still also haven't seen The Northman. I hope we loved it. I think, you know, if you're listening to this now, you'll have a better understanding of what we thought of it than we do right now sitting in these chairs. I will also probably have seen The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. Probably
excited
not,
for that.
Yeah, I'm not, like, not keeping us creepy, but definitely in line with the Rage Cage discussion.
Keeping in lieu with Cage.
Keeping us raging, right? But yes, like Kim said, we will be at Panic Fest this weekend. We will be hosting karaoke, and we will be recording a live podcast with Mick Garris celebrating the 30-year anniversary of Sleepwalkers. Come panic with us. Come drink with us. Come sing karaoke with us. It's going to be a blast.
I'm not singing karaoke.
I'm going to make Kim sing karaoke.
I'm a cheer support person. I'm a wooer. Woo!
Those, you know what?
Good work.
Every karaoke club needs a good wooer.
Yeah. Wooers are underrated. We do not get enough credit. We keep the vibe rolling till 2 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah, just as the party started to dip and everybody's getting tired. Just one person from the back stands up.
All you need is one person to woo.
Like, the crowds part. Woo! Party's back on. That's Kim. So without further ado, let's throw you over to the trailer for Ghost Rider.
You should be taking a dirt nap after that ragdoll today.
I got lucky.
Luck don't cover it, JB. You got an angel looking after you.
Maybe it's something else.
Ghost Rider from 2007 is currently sitting at a 5.2 out of 10 on IMDb, 26% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 2.2 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
Wow.
People think this movie's half good. Either the ghost or the Nicolas Cage.
Honestly, I thought going into this I was gonna think it was half good.
Yeah, that was that. Oh man, I was struggling real hard to figure out whether or not to watch, as the Ghost Rider expert of the group, whether or not to watch Ghost Rider or Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance. I'm very happy we watched Ghost Rider.
We are going to watch the second Ghost Rider after
tonight.
This. Yeah, I need...
Before the sun rises.
I need to watch it. Yeah, I saw this first when it came out in theaters, and I haven't seen it since. I had forgotten everything about it.
Yeah.
And I remember liking it, but I was like 17 at the time, so...
You were just happy to be out of the fucking house.
Yeah, so... Honestly, I had low expectations, and this movie fucking blew me away.
Can I tell you that these last two episodes have kind of been like your baby? Not that, okay, so like you kind of deferred to me in terms of which of these two movies to pick, but it was your idea to cover Vampire's Kiss, and I don't think either of us realized how fitting of a pairing this was, because both movies are essentially Nicolas Cage hunting around for hidden contracts, like contracts that no one can find because they're not in the spot they're supposed to be.
That's amazing. And also standing up girls he likes.
Yeah. Oh, that's a Cage move.
Commitment
right there.
Issues with women.
Hell yeah. I mean, he doesn't have hair plugs in Vampire's Kiss, but he's got a very specific do.
I think it's a topper. I think it's a rug. But you know what? Who are we to judge? He's a skeleton half the time.
Isn't it great?
It's
Isn't
so
it
good.
Fucking amazing when it's, he turns into the goddamn fire skeleton?
It's fucking crazy because you adore Nick Cage. You want Nick Cage to be on the screen all the time.
Oh.
But then you get this fucking skull-headed dude who doesn't sound like Nick Cage, but it definitely has like Nick Cage's shoulders. Nick Cage definitely acted it out.
Hell yeah.
And was probably the voice that they just edited so it doesn't sound like him at all.
I'm sure he insisted that he be the person to do it, too.
Yeah, true. So it's like this weird push and pull because the action sequences with the fucking Ghost Rider Skullhead are fan-fucking-tastic.
Right. Oh, man.
But also the scenes with Nick Cage are fan-fucking-tastic. So I don't know which one I, like, when...
You can't lose!
No, it's like, I want more Ghost Rider, but then Nick Cage does something silly and, like, drinking jelly beans out of a martini cup, and you're just like, no, it's fine. We'll stay here. It's great.
I think that's because he was... I have heard about this a little bit. And I don't remember exact details, don't quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure it's because it was supposed to be alcohol. And so, like, because I think the idea is that Johnny Blaze is living dangerously and recklessly. And so, like, he's drinking all the time and doing these impossible stunts. Like, he literally has a death wish almost.
Yeah.
But because of the rating, I guess, because it's got to be a PG movie. And you can't have the lead good guy poisoning himself with alcohol, they wrote it out. And I think Nick Cage fought for it. Like, he really wanted it. So he was like, fine. He's still going to have the martini glass, but we're putting jelly beans in it.
Oh,
he fucking
God.
Swishes it around at one point like there is an olive in it.
And I swear to God, he only eats yellow and red jelly beans, and those are Johnny Blaze's colors.
Yeah, baby. Those are the colors of a carnival. Those are perfect. Those are also the colors that you need on your palette if you're going to turn this movie in black and white. And what is this but a fucking age-old Western? From start to fucking finish, this movie is a classic Western. I'm sorry that I sound so enthusiastic.
No, I'm totally on board. I was like, this is the best updated Headless Horseman ever.
Oh, man, I've never thought of it like that. Oh, that's genius.
So good. And I was thinking that the whole time, and then when we got to fucking Sam Elliott, I was just like, oh, dear God.
They say some legends are born.
Others
are forged.
Every skull has a motorcycle.
Oh,
and
man.
Every motorcycle has a story. This is the story of one of those.
I really wish y'all could have been like I wish we videotaped us watching this when Kim realized that Sam Elliott was also a rider and he came in on his fucking fire horse and they just rode off into the desert together. God damn, guys, so much hooting and hollering happening up in here.
I was lying down on the couch watching this movie and I had to sit up with my fists in the air. I knew he was like the old Ghost Rider. Like, I knew he was passing the torch. Obviously, he knew way too much shit about Ghost Riders.
Yeah, right?
But when it was a fucking horse, I was dying. It was amazing.
They're fucking just, like, ripping across the desert.
It makes no sense because he's like, well, it's the end of the line for me. I'm going to go back that way. Like,
it's really not that exciting if there's two good guys fighting the bad guys, so I guess this is my cue to exit.
You got
to
do this one alone.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta dance with the one that brung you.
They're fucking riding off in like that Johnny Cash tune, Ghost Riders in the Sky, which is so perfect too, because this is also like a Judgment Day story. Like, it's Revelation. The end of the world is coming. That's what that fucking song is about. The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. So rad. They kind of gloss over the idea that the Ghost Rider might be the fourth horseman of the apocalypse.
Do they?
Well, there's those other three I mean, I guess not. This is headcanon. But I do love that the bad guys are like the funky bunch of bad dudes. Like, we got Earth, Wind, and Fire, and that's who he's going up against. The fourth element Earth, Wind, and Water. He's the fire. My mistake. Like, those would be the four elements. Aren't the four horsemen? No, they're like plagues, aren't they, right?
I don't know, man.
I don't know at all.
You've done more Bibling than I have.
I know, I realized that.
Because you're like, at one point he's like, that's my favorite quote in the Bible. And I was like, yeah.
Well, I think what I said was that's...
Sure thing.
That's the most metal quote from the Bible.
No, you said my favorite.
No, I don't know. It's possible. Maybe I said the coolest. I don't think I said my favorite. Like, oh, of all the quotes, that one always gets me. And specifically, it's not like it was like, Jesus wept. Like, it was, our name is Legion, or my name is Legion, we are many. Fucking rad, dude.
What is that? What context is that in the Bible?
Jesus comes up to a possessed dude, and everybody's like, oh man, we got a possessed guy in this village. It'd be so great if you could help us out. And he shows up, and the dude's possessed, and he calls the demon, and he asks what their name is, and the demon...
This is in the Bible?
This is in the fucking Bible, baby!
This is fucking metal!
And he looks him in the eye, and you're like, as a reader, you know, or a child, child in a pew at a church expecting him to be like, my name's Bad Boys for Life. But he's like, we are legion. We are many. Like, the fact that there's the idea that there's just like 100,000 souls inside one dude is awesome. And then Jesus is all like, okay, I'll take you and I put you into those pigs over there. And the pigs are all like, oh God. And they jump off a cliff. That's how that whole story goes.
So this brings up an important point.
Uh-huh.
I don't care for the plot in this movie, but the plot...
Whoa. Can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
There's a plot in this movie?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
The plot is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Fucking Nick Cage is playing a motorcycle daredevil who sells his soul to the devil for basically nothing.
This sounds like the greatest plot ever. What are you talking
about? And then
about?
Becomes the Grim Reaper, and he has... But no, I'm talking about, like...
Yeah!
I'm talking about, like, the minutiae. I'm talking about, like, there's this contract. And,
you don't like Peter Fonda in this fucking movie?
You gotta sign the contract.
You don't like Mephistopheles?
No! Who the fuck is Mephistopheles?
He's the dude who makes the contract.
I thought he was Satan.
Nah, so at the beginning of the movie, Sam Elliott's like, when you make a deal with the devil, and then at no point in the movie is he referred to as the devil. He's only referred to as Mephistopheles.
Is that the devil?
They
met at a crossroads. It's the fucking devil.
There's a lot of visual aids that spell out in pop culture
and
that he's the devil.
He's got a son who's out of control.
Not like, the Antichrist, just a dude named Blackheart.
Little Nickying all over the place.
Yeah. Not a great villain.
So this is definitely an era where...
The Vampire Diaries were fucking burning up the charts.
I was going to say, where studios were going whole hog into CGI.
Okay.
They're like, we don't need makeup artists anymore.
Nope. Gone are the days of those professions.
Not nary a makeup was in this entire film.
He's got all of
those bad guys could have been makeup, but they were all like, "Ooh, I'm smoke. I can't be tamed."
I think the wet guy was practical.
Yeah, they put gel in his hair, but then he was also water at some point.
Oh, man, can you imagine? 6 a.m. call time? Like, all right, Dale, here's your bucket.
My favorite thing about him...
Every morning?
My favorite thing about him was in, like, the group scenes. Every time the camera was on him, he made bubble sounds. Like fucking Little Mermaid bubble sounds. Like, bloop, bloop, bloop.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
Under the sea.
Yeah, good stuff. I mean, plot-wise, there's not really... You've covered all the beats, basically.
Yeah, I don't really understand any of the
Mephistopheles.
The devil stuff.
I think it's like the alternating name is Mephisto, if that's easier for you.
So, he's like, you gotta get my son and his bros. And then he just basically gets his son and his bros. And then all of a sudden there's like, there's a contract that he needs so he can be cool for a minute, but you'll kill him anyway and it's fine.
Okay, so here's the deal. he makes him an offer he can't refuse.
To be cool for a minute.
So that way he can call on him at any time in his life.
Oh, the Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To do a job, to do a favor. It's just like...
So it's like the mafia, like the devil mafia.
Yeah, that's probably why I said offer he can't refuse with that dumb mafia accent. I don't know if you see my hands right now.
I'm sorry, goldfish.
I'm ringing them
in front of you. I forgot, I'm a goldfish.
Yeah, so that's the idea. It's just like, hey, I need you to be muscle for me at some point when I need muscle. Right now, I got no plans for you, but it's always nice to have a Ghost Rider in the fucking back pocket. And he goes ahead and lives his life. With no joy for approximately an adult Nicolas Cage amount of time. And then at some point, his son, not called the Antichrist in the movie, but called Blackheart, comes up, is going to take Mephistopheles' throne. To do that, he needs more souls for more power. So he's going to, this is
Blackheart
contract
is a good,
law.
Blackheart is a good villain name for like a Western horror, though. Like, you gotta get Blackheart.
That's what this contract's all about. He's gonna use the contract to get the souls to get power to dethrone his father. So he calls Ghost Rider, his fucking basically bodyguard, to like do his dirty work, stop his son from getting that contract, which he also doesn't know where it is. I mean, maybe he does. He's Mephistopheles. I don't know. It took me like the whole movie to figure that out too, so don't feel that bad. But like, who gives a shit? All you want to see is this fucking guy turn into a fire skeleton and just like...
fuck up some dudes.
Fuck up some dudes, yeah. Just like rip up the roads, drive up a building, turn people's souls into ash.
Rescue a pre-famous Rebel Wilson.
Right? That was a surprise.
It was almost as good of a surprise as when he fucking drove up the side of a high rise.
Man, I love that shit.
Oh, not even, so good.
Doesn't break the entire window as he drives up,
just
right?
Just a trail.
Just breaks enough for the tire tracks. Because I guess it's because he's melting the window as he goes up. Is that what's happening? Okay.
Okay.
I'm surprised he didn't turn that sand dude into glass.
Oh, that would have been cool.
That would have been cool.
I think he was wind, though.
No. The sand guy at the train yard.
He was sand?
Yeah, he's sand. He's earth.
Oh.
He turned him into, like... He just, like, cooked them and turned them into rocks, I guess, right? Like, you are gravel now.
Eat shit. I'm going to say more things I like about the Ghost Rider. His fucking chain? Oh, God.
Chain's great.
So good.
You know, like, it completely justified Nicolas Cage's bad Texan accent throughout the whole movie.
Because he had, like, a lasso?
Yeah, I was like, why is he doing that? Oh, it's a lasso! Badass.
So good. Just the fucking motion of wrapping it around his shoulders. I fucking love it.
Yeah.
Love it so hard.
I mean, everybody, that's why they put it in the movie like 100 times.
Oh, I buy it though.
It's great.
I buy it.
I actually have no idea whether or not the Ghost Rider is, like, I don't know if it's canon that he's Texan. I hope so. There are, like, not enough, I'm saying there are not enough Texas superheroes with zero knowledge of how many Texas superheroes there are. But damn, what a great choice. I hope that was something they made up for this movie because it's a genius move. But yeah, that accent, real, real fast and loose on that,
you know,
accent.
It was another reason why this was a great pairing with fucking Vampire's Kiss.
That's
because
right.
The accents, like, you don't come for the accents, but they really are just the sugar on top. They're that spice dude who flicks the spice, you know, the spice dude
just
meme.
Just a little salt, yeah.
Yeah, it's Nick Cage's accents.
Right on.
Oh, so good. So good.
Just thinking about King Triton and his, like, existential forever.
Are we really
jail.
Going back there? Emotionally,
no, I mean,
I do not want to go back there.
No, I mean, like, I was just using that as a jumping off point to talk. A jumping off point. I'm going to bring that back up for a half a second, ditch it completely, so I get to talk about the, what, Penitence Stare? Is that what it's called?
Oh, I wrote it
the
down.
The Penitence Gaze?
I fucking wrote it down.
What is it called?
Oh, I dropped my phone, so I don't have it.
Okay.
It's the... The penance stare.
Penance stare. There we go.
Yeah.
You need to pay your penance.
So, but the greatest thing about it, so this is Mortal Kombat, and this is like an up, down, arrow, back, arrow, square, X, circle.
This is how you finish them.
Start button.
Yeah.
Move. It is a full ass move that everybody knows the name for.
Everybody, yeah.
Like the bad guy's like,
you can't touch me with your penance stare.
Your penance stare doesn't work on me, fool.
Yep, yep. I guess that's a thing from the comics. I guess. I mean, they've all got a move. They've all got a thing they do.
Oh, boy.
It would have been cool if they didn't name it, but who gives a shit?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
It's a rad idea, especially if you think about like the robber that he saves Rebel Wilson from.
Mm-hmm.
He does the penance stare on him. Do you think he dies?
I mean, the guy in the end died.
That was, well, let's just focus on the burglar for a second.
Okay, but I'm using context here.
No.
The guy
you had no context at minute 38.
Okay,
when you
I didn't think he died. I thought he was just like haunted
exactly.
by being a baddie.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. So he is experiencing all of the pain and suffering of all of his sins, all of the people that he's hurt in his entire life. That's fucking dark, bro.
That's fucking amazing. The pain in the form of regret.
Like, I think he experiences it however everybody else feels it.
So no, I think it's something different. I think the volume of that pain converted to regret.
Mm.
So it's like if regret could be a physical ailment.
All right. I mean, that's a fun idea. And you multiply that 100,000 times, that's what happens to the bad guy at the end of this movie.
Mm,
gives him the pen and stare. He's got literally just like thousands of bad, awful souls
inside of him. Surely those souls are bad.
They're from the Wild West. They gotta be awful. It's basically just like you've got like an entire city's population of serial killers living inside of you.
That's true. You get one bad cup of whiskey, the whole bar you shoot up.
Yeah. There's not much else about this movie. I almost feel like we're not all the way through the podcast, but I feel like we've covered it all.
It's because the plot is not important.
How do you feel about Eva Mendes?
I was going to bring up Eva Mendes. I fucking love her.
Yeah, just in general. You like her and everything.
You know, I don't think I liked her before this. I do fucking love her character in this, though.
Okay.
She, despite all of her best judgments, agrees to go on a date with Johnny Blaze.
Oh, this date is good.
But before that, just the fucking pickup scene where he does this monumental jump that should have killed him, and then he just runs off on his motorcycle down the freeway to go pick up his, like, long-lost lover.
To just do, like, trick stunts and shit.
Yeah, and he's, like, sitting on the front of his bike at the window of the van, like,
while driving it.
Hey, baby.
Yeah. Oh, it's good stuff. It, like, completely derails traffic, like, backed up traffic on the 405 for hours.
Oh, it's so fucking funny.
Really good.
But so she agrees to go on this date with him. And of course, it coincides with the exact moment he's getting his Ghost Rider powers for the first time. So he stands her up. But she stays there like the whole night, drinking wine.
Oh, man, holding her wine glass with two hands.
The best part is that at some point she pulls an 8-ball out of nowhere.
Yeah, just like she just keeps a whole ass 8-ball in her purse.
Shakes it, sees the results.
Doesn't show it to the camera.
No, we never know what the results were, but she was not happy about it.
I mean, as someone who's used an 8-ball many times, I'm sure it said not so clear, shake again.
Outlook not so good.
Outlook's not so good. Thank you. Yes, isn't that still like a proprietary thing? Like, don't the people who invented the 8-ball own the technology that makes it float to the top like that?
Is there tech involved?
Yeah.
I thought it was just a snow globe.
Here's what you got to think. Remember, with a snow globe, everything that's inside of it falls down. With the magic 8-ball, you shake it and turn it up, and then the result comes to the top.
Yeah, but it's just a hollow block in there. It floats.
Okay. But what's to
it's
stop?
It's just buoyant.
What's to stop all of them from floating up there?
There's only one. It's like a die.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah. It's like a triangle dice.
My. Okay.
You silly goose.
I've just never given a thought. I'm like, it is magic. Okay.
Surely it really is predicting my future.
We better not give it any other thought. We better save this, talk about it publicly in a few years, and blow everyone's minds. So this seems like a good opportunity to talk about how this... Now, oh man, this is going to get wild and weird. Now, I don't have like 20 minutes of material planned on this.
What's going on?
But like, you know how Jim Carrey had this thing where he's sort of talked about his career, and in retrospect, like, all of the movies that he's chosen have meant something about where he was as a person, as an actor, at this point in his life. And you can kind of trace the Jim Carrey we have now back to this moment of, like, The Truman Show, where he really made a movie about himself and how he feels in the entertainment industry.
Okay.
Don't you think that maybe Ghost Rider is Nicolas Cage's version of that? Don't you think he made a deal when he was very young that he didn't understand and has been looming over him hard and is like, the chickens are now coming home to roost in his adulthood?
What?
I think this movie speaks to Nicolas Cage on a deeper level than we understand.
What?
Yeah, yeah, and on top of that, he also has the gift of doing a movie like The Ghost Rider, which I think has been, like, a lifelong goal for him. Because, like, even Nicolas Cage is taken from, what comic book is it? I don't think it'd be too easy to say it's taken from Ghost Rider, because Blaze has to be the original name of that, but I'm almost certain Johnny Cage. Well, that's Mortal Kombat.
What is happening?
I know, I'm losing it, but the name Cage is taken from, I think, the X-Men or something, right?
Okay.
Like, because his name's Coppola.
The real-life character of Nicolas Cage, right?
Yes, real-life Nicolas Cage was a Coppola, changed his name to Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, and became the Ghost Rider.
So I think, I think this movie...
Do you think it's like The Tax Man Cometh? Is that what...
The Tax Man Cometh.
Is that what Mrs...
Mephistopheles?
Thank you.
It's hard to say. Because I definitely think that, like, his buddy, who's helping... Who, like, is, like, his head tech. The guy's like, oh, man, you can't
R.I.P.
You can't... Oh, right. It's so sad when he died.
We both went, no!
When it happened.
We both liked him.
He is definitely, like a stand-in for Nicolas Cage's agent or manager, right? And Nicolas Cage keeps taking all these crazy roles that are, like, gonna end his career.
Okay.
And he's like, hey, man, you can't do this. I don't know how I can just stand on the sidelines all the time and just, like, watch you risk your life and almost die. And Nicolas Cage is like, I got this. I have to do this for myself. I need to know whether or not people are coming to see me or my talent. Like, he's got to define, like, I need to prove that it's me out there. Like, I'm literally taking lines from this movie. I think this might be, like, his most personal film.
Okay, so and when you started, full of shit. I thought you were full of shit. I thought you were just, like, hanging out in Dung Beetle Town. You kind of wheeled me in with that last little bit.
I think once we get to, like, two-thirds, maybe halfway through the movie, that falls apart and it becomes a full superhero movie. But, like, all of the origin story building up to the redemption arc of the Ghost Rider and Nicolas Cage is all there in the beginning.
Wow.
And I'm going to say in retrospect, maybe that's how I should have been watching Vampires Kiss. but Ghost Rider.
Something interesting, actually, is that this film was in development for, like, fucking forever.
Of course it was.
So it came out in 2007, was supposed to come out in 2006, started filming in 2005. Nicolas Cage first signed on in 2001.
Damn.
Yeah. And then it took basically too long. And so, like Vampires Kiss, he left and then came back because he really wanted to fucking do the role.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Have you ever seen this is like...
I love that Nick Cage has, like, roles that haunt him. He's like, no, I gotta be the skeleton boat motorcycle man.
Right? I'm so glad he's doing Dracula now. Did you ever see the screen test photos that he did for Superman?
No.
Tim Burton's Superman?
Whoa.
They were gonna get...
Fuck me.
Yeah, Tim Burton was gonna direct Superman.
Oh,
and
God.
It was going to be Nicolas Cage. He's in the suit. You can see the photos. It's nuts.
I want to change universes.
Where can we go where it's the Berenstain Bears and Nicolas Cage's Superman?
Wow. That's so fucking cool. You're finding them and you're going to put them in our Discord right now.
Okay, I can do that.
So that the people listening to this can fucking see it.
I was going to say, by right now, you mean in several weeks from now
when
we release
this episode. In several weeks from now.
I can do that.
Oh my God. Wow. You know, you brought a whole lot to the table here. I honestly, the only thing I had left to talk about was if that scene where Nick Cage looks in the mirror and he's fully fucking ripped. I just wanted to know if that was CGI or not.
I think he signed on in 2001. He had 6 years to get ready. But
there's one moment where he's just pointing with a naked arm and I was like, Those are some good biceps on Nick Cage.
That's great. I wonder if there's a real... First off, I think those were airbrushed a little bit, but I am sure he got nice and lean for that mirror scene. Anytime you see him do any hand movement, it's the exact same.
He loves the, like, pointed claw.
He waves at people with the same hands that I use when I'm trying to do, like, the, like, I'm a ghoul, you know, like, I'm coming at you.
Like the Dracula hands?
The Dracula hands! Wow. It's really coming full circle, eh?
Mesmerize.
Yeah, he waves with that hand. He points with that hand. It must be iconic from the comic books or something.
No, but he does it in every movie. It's not exclusive to this movie.
Oh, maybe he broke his hand as a child and he can't make a fist. Maybe that's all it is.
Oh, like he can't close his hand? Oh, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Surely we've seen Nick Cage make a fist.
We have to have, unless it was always a double. Halt movie magic, baby, right?
Fist double? Yeah, I'm Nick Cage's fist double. Been in the industry 46 years.
Yeah, he does all his own ab work, but he needs a hand guy. So, Kim, Peter Fonda, right? As the big bad in this movie, he kind of only shows up to just, like, sign contracts and, like, stomp his cane around and stuff. Don't you love Peter Fonda? I had a feeling. Yeah.
He didn't have enough flair. So, I did really enjoy that moment when he's in the carnival tent. Also, shout out to the carnival. Love a carnival.
So good.
You don't even need to do anything cool with it. Just have a carnival. And yeah. I'm like, whoa, this movie's great.
You could put Bradley Cooper in it and I'd be like, oh man,
oh
so
my God,
awesome.
Bradley Cooper's so cool. I forget everything he's done previously. Yeah, the moment when the devil... Mephistopheles.
Yep, that's him.
Is walking around the tent, and at one point he's got like a shadow, and it's like a full ass gremlin.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, and the lightning strikes, and so good. I think the thing is like the pizzazz you're talking about him not having.
He needed a little showmanship.
I think that's why they hired Peter Fonda. I think for a, I'm gonna say it, specific age group, which I'm guessing the cutoff for that age group was 1 year before you were born, the day after I was born. I snuck in right under the wire. I think Peter Fonda just always brings this to his roles, and I think it's...
What does he bring? What are we asking?
That's what I'm getting at. Like, Peter Fonda is a weird character, and I apologize to everybody out there who is our age or younger who also doesn't know who the fuck Peter Fonda is, because I'm just an old ass man.
Jane Fonda's dad?
Jane Fonda's brother.
Oh!
Henry Fonda was their dad.
Okay.
Anyway, Peter Fonda just kind of like, for me, is sort of like, there's a meta quality to Peter Fonda in everything that he's in. He kind of is the face of Hollywood for me in some regard. Maybe that was helping compound my idea about this being a meta story about Nicolas Cage. Because Peter Fonda is a weird actor because I don't know that he necessarily has star power the way other people have star power, like a Kurt Russell, you know? But he's like Hollywood legacy.
So it's understated. It's subdued, kind of? Is that what you're trying to get at?
I don't know. It's the, like, Peter Fonda has been such an icon in Hollywood since the 60s. Like, he and Dennis Hopper sort of, like, helped usher in, like, the new Hollywood that sort of, like, brought in auteurism in the 70s. Like, they made Easy Rider together.
You're getting
it changed
TCM
Hollywood.
Up in here.
I'm real sorry about this. I didn't want to be. I know we're talking about a fucking dumb skeleton movie.
I liked when the bike turned into a skeleton bike.
But I don't know. Like, there's just, like, anytime Peter Fonda shows up, it almost seems as though he is a surrogate for some sort of real-life understanding of what Hollywood is. Like, he is a meta character. We're peeking behind the curtain a little bit. Like, you always know that he is a real person who exists in the real world.
So how do you bring that into Ghost Rider? How does that apply?
I don't know.
Is this just applying to you personally?
Maybe, I guess. yeah. I mean, but, like, fucking, like, even in, like, Steven Soderbergh movies when he shows up, the Limey, he's kind of, like, a meta Hollywood character. Like, he is sort of a person that represents Hollywood. If you know who Peter Fonda is. I'm just going to shut the fuck up. How's that sound?
I know, but I see that, like, film could be, like, making a deal with the devil. Like, you want to be an artist, but, like, fame fucking actually sucks. And no, John, I don't.
Okay.
Was I close?
No, well, yeah, that's going back to my Nicolas Cage thing. I don't think I'm articulating my Peter Fonda idea very well, so I apologize for that.
Okay, we're going to end on something a little bit more Nightmare on Film Street-y. Ooh. What is your single favorite moment of the film?
Single favorite moment?
Like, a glimpse, a touch, weird dialogue, whatever you fancy.
It is the split second of this movie where you experience several emotions when you are having a rip-roaring good time watching the fucking Ghost Rider and the Ghost Rider from the Wild West.
Oh, so good.
Blazing across the desert. And then they run past an iguana, and the iguana is so caught up in the hellfire badassery of this moment that he too becomes a skeleton and then dies. And you're like, oh shit. Like, in a half a second, you're like, fuck yeah. Oh, poor little guy.
That actually looked really good.
It looked great.
None of the other CGI makeups looked good at all, but the fucking iguana, on point. My favorite moment?
Yeah.
And I hope you fucking agree / saw this. The Ghost Rider's motorcycle transforms out of Johnny Cage's regular motorcycle.
Yeah.
When the first time it's degenerating Christine style into his old motorcycle, the skeleton turns into, like, skeleton hands that, like, pull down off and, like, disappear, but they trail down the front of the bike.
Yeah.
Like, and it honestly looks like, you know, when the other mother and
Coraline. I fucking knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, the other mother and Coraline does her, like, final transformation where she has, like, sewing needle skeleton hands.
Yeah.
They look like that.
Yeah.
And it's fucking amazing.
It looks so, and he's got, like, a whole ass fucking rib cage and, like, the bottom carriage of it.
It's
Man, that bike's rad.
The only thing that tops it was the fucking Ghost Rider horse.
Man, all of the hard zoom-ins on people's eyeballs. Like, it's like a cross between, like, an Italian Western and a Mad Max movie.
Well, I think they're trying to mirror comic panels. Like, what you would see is, in a standoff, you'd have, here's a full body shot, here's just a panel of the eyes, which is also happens to be Wild Westy.
Fuck yeah, man.
Which is really fucking cool. I did really like the camera work. It was all over the place, especially in those CGI sequences. I was just on board. I was here for the ride, and I just enjoyed the trip.
I can't wait. I cannot wait to show you, or honestly reintroduce you, because you've seen it. You've just forgotten about it.
I have no memory of this movie.
Ghost Rider 2, Spirit of Vengeance. Man, it's so fucking rad. There's a scene where he turns like a whole, does he got like a 40-foot chainsaw kind of thing? Like, he turns, it's like, I'm over-explaining it, but it's like this giant piece of machinery that he turns into like his own fucking weapon. Best scene of the whole goddamn. Well, first off, directed by the guys that brought you Crank and Crank 2.
Yeah.
That's all you really need to know. There's a scene where a dude with a machine, he's like staring down a dude with a machine gun, and the guy with the machine gun just fucking opens up on him, and he screams and opens his mouth, and this guy empties a clip into Ghost Rider's mouth.
Stop
and then he
spoiling it.
Spits the fucking bullets back at him.
What?
All on fire. Man, it's good stuff.
Okay. We're going to watch Ghost Rider 2, but first we have to do our ratings of Ghost Rider the first.
Yeah.
John?
I'm giving Ghost Rider a 3.5 out of 4.
I am also giving Ghost Rider a 3.5 out of 4. I almost gave it a 4 out of 4, but the ending, he was just like, I'm not giving you back your curse.
Yeah, oh, we didn't even talk about that.
I'm going to punish you with the abilities that you gave it to me.
Broke his contract.
And Mephisto is like, no!
You'll pay for this.
And he's like, there's going to be a second film and you have nothing to say about it.
It's good stuff.
Well, that's our coverage of Ghost Rider. Let us know what you thought of the film and this Nick Cage double feature. If you have any wild Nick Cage recommendations, give them to us.
Or if you're looking for wild Nicolas Cage recommendations, come a knocking.
Yeah, we also have some. You can tweet at us at NOFS Podcast on Twitter. You can find us in our Discord server at nofspodcast.com/discord.
And while you're at it, please, please, please leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you're listening to this podcast. It really helps us grow the horde, get the show in front of more fiends like yourself, and climb the charts. It takes no time. You've already got your phone in your hand or your pocket, I assume.
Where is your phone?
Yeah, shit. Do you know where it is right now? Goddamn.
Another podcast is about to come on that you did not subscribe to, and it's going to be really weird.
Did you steal somebody's phone? What kind of madman steals someone's phone and then goes through their subscribe podcasts? But hey, I mean, while you've got it.
5 stars.
Before you sell it on Kijiji like a ruthless criminal. 5 stars on Spotify. We won't tell anybody.
Until next time, I'm Kim.
I'm John.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive. but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.